Some of you stayed up too late last night. That's your only excuse. I hope you had a good time last night. I hope you stayed awake for it all. And I'm glad you're here this morning. Thank God for alarm clocks. My intentions during this week was to be a blessing to you. I hope I was. I hope the Word of God touched your hearts. More than that, my desire and prayer is that it not only touched your heart, but it changed your heart. It'll change your life for eternity's sake. And for Lord Jesus' sake. Janice and I want to thank you for all of your hospitality. We're going to go back to Poland heavier than we came. I'm concerned that we might have to buy an extra ticket. They're getting particular about weight matters on the plane. So. But it has been a blessing for me. I've been blessed. I found the best sermons that I ever preached are the ones that are aimed at me. And I was trying to aim at myself. Knowing that if I hit myself, not on the head, but my heart, that I'd probably get you to. I hope that's the case. Revelation chapter 2. And as you're turning, I want to remind you of the contest we're having. If you'd like to participate in this contest, if your phone goes off while I'm preaching, we had a jackpot winner the other night. That's $1,000 on the plate. Or, let me say, I had tacos last night and had pizza the other day, so I got to figure out, baby, what do you want? Where do you want to go? How about steak? Yeah, so if your phone goes off, you get a chance. You get a choice, $1,000 on the plate, or you take Janice and I out for steak at, what's that good place we went to the other day? Saltgrass, yes. Saltgrass. This is a high stakes contest. Now, if you do not want to participate in this contest, you're not obligated. You just turn your phone off. But if you'd like to participate in this contest, please leave your phone on. We can have a good time, and Christians do have a good time in the Lord. But we're getting down to the end. And some of these preachers around say, I can hardly wait till it's over. It's going to be my turn. I got two more chances. Just hang on. Just hang on. Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. And let's stand and pray. God in heaven, it is indeed a great pleasure to meet in your name. It is a great pleasure that we have and a great blessing that we have in order to open up the Word of God and hear it. And God, our desire and our prayer is that you would use the Word of God that it might be effectual in our lives. That it would change our marriages for your glory. That it would change this church for your glory. And God, that it would change this community for your honor and for your glory. And oh God, that we would have a real revival in our hearts. Lord, I pray if there, be any soul here today that does not know you as their Savior, did not walk out these doors without being truly born again. Lord, our prayer is that the devil would not have the victory, that he had not come as a thief, and that you would bind him, and you would hedge about, and not allow him to steal the Word of God out of people's hearts. God, that you might have all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. That's our desire, and that's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I know thy works. That's a blessing. God knows. It's a blessing to know that God knows, because we don't know everything. But God knows. I've been accused wrongly. I knew they were wrong, but I had a hard time proving it. And I took comfort in this one fact, God knows. People around me, they didn't know, and they weren't sure who was right, who was wrong. I knew, and God knew. And I was so thankful that God knew. Later on, when all the facts came out, God knew. And then other people knew. One of the things about, one of the problems with our judgment is sometimes we judge beforehand. Proper and righteous and holy judgment demands all the facts. And sometimes we're a little bit too hasty in our judgment, because we don't have all the facts. And sometimes it's just better to postpone judgment. Say, I don't have an opinion on that yet, because we lack the facts. Sometimes we just say, well, we're going to leave this in the Lord's hands, because the Lord knows. I'd like to say, first of all, that this is something positive, that the Lord knows. I work with a good man, Brother Joe West. He recently moved a few years back to Łódź in Poland, about 2 hours south of the capital, Warsaw. He had bought a new an apartment, new home, and he had gone to, I don't know what you call it, like a Home Depot type of store, what they call Obi in Poland. Went there to buy some materials, and so he was going to spend a good portion of his, not as long as Janice and IKEA, but he spent a few hours in Obi looking around. And Joe, he has a bad habit of when he shops. I don't know if you know him, but he has a bad habit. He doesn't like to carry a cart. And so he uses his pocket. And he puts things in his pocket. And so Debbie was with him, and you know, and they were putting the big things in the cart, but he's putting the little things in his pocket. And he's going around this store, I think he said, for around 3 hours he's doing some shopping. Not 12 hours, but 3 hours. Gets up to the check card counter, throws everything on the counter, and pays for it, walking out the door, and two security guards meet him. Said, come with us. He knew he was innocent. He had no evil intentions. But there in his pocket lay them 39-cent screws. They said, you're not from here, are you? That's a pretty common phrase we hear in Poland after we start speaking. You're not from here, are you? What are you doing here? Joe said, you're not going to believe this, but I'm a preacher of the gospel. Oh, they had a good time. The Lord knew. The security guard said, we've been watching you for 3 hours. We didn't think you was ever going to come out of this store. He said, well, you had to know that I wasn't here to rob you. I'm here to, you know, I'm here to buy things for my home. Well, needless to say, they did not prosecute him. Thankfully. But every time he goes in the store, the guards chuckle. But the Lord knows. One of the hardest things about Christian service many times is nobody seems to care of the great sacrifices that we're giving. But the Lord knows. He knows thy works and thy labor and thy patience. The Lord knows. That's good. That ought to be a warning also to those that are not walking righteously.
Amen.
That their works are not good. And they're laboring for the wrong things. And they're impatient. The Lord knows these things as well. The Bible says in the book of Job, it says, "The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, No eye shall see me in the disguise of his face." Let me tell you, my friend, this morning that God sees. And one of the reasons we have gospel meetings and revival meetings and the reason the people get together is to remind one another that God sees. And I'm thankful you're here this morning so you can be reminded that God knows. Now, you can put a disguise on your face and you can come here and you can fool the preachers. And many a preacher's been fooled. And you can fool your husbands, or you can fool your wives. You can fool your neighbors. You can fool the police. You can fool the authorities. You can fool a lot of people. But there's one thing you're never going to do. You're not going to fool God. God knows. Some of the greatest men throughout history forgot that lesson. That God knows. Moses, going out and looking on the affliction of his people, decided to take things in his own hands. And he says he looked that away, and he looked over that away, and he saw no man. And he thought the coast was clear, and he took the life of a man. But God saw. Many adulterers will think that nobody's going to catch me. My wife doesn't know. My husband doesn't know. But let me tell you something. God knows. He knows. Sometimes even Christian churches, even Bible-believing churches, sometimes we've gotten into complacency and we forget that God knows. And God's watching over. He says later on to one of these churches, he says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not." Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Maybe sin has blinded you. Maybe pride has deceived you. And you don't know. But God knows. He knows why you did it, when you did it. He knows everything about it. Now, this goes both ways. It goes in criminal activities. It goes in works of wickedness. But it also goes in prayer, doesn't it? Guy stands up and he's praying and everybody thinks, oh, there's a holy man. But he wasn't interested in God hearing his prayers. He was wanting to make sure you heard his prayers. Jesus said he has his reward. There's some men that are given, and they're ringing the bell and blowing the trumpet and letting everybody know, hey, look what I'm... They're shooting for the gold brick. And they got their gold brick. Because they're more interested in what man thought and what man knows than what God knows. God trieth the heart. Jesus said, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have a light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." You know what? I've asked this question many a time, and I can tell a man whether he's walking in darkness or light, according to the words of Jesus Christ. I can tell where you're walking. All I have to do is ask you, do you have eternal life? You'd be surprised how many highly intelligent individuals across this globe of ours will respond and say, no man knoweth. Well, that's not true. That's not true. And you'd be surprised how their feathers will get ruffled up when I say, well, you're walking in darkness. No, I know where I'm going. Well, how can that be? I just asked you, are you going to heaven? You said you didn't know.
Are you going to hell?
Don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Well, nobody knows. There's a whole list in the Bible of people going to hell.
I told you this story. I'll tell it again.
Had my students write on the board all the types of sins and sinners, the types of people that are going to go to hell. They started out with politicians. That's one thing. There's were ecumenism in that. All politicians are going to hell. I mean, it doesn't matter what denomination, they all agree, yeah, those guys are going to hell. And so I asked them, besides politicians, who do you think is going to go to hell? They wrote on there murderers. All right, we got murderers. Anybody else? Adulterers. Thieves. Wicked people, sinners, traitors, high mind. I mean, we just really stretched our vocabulary, filled that whole whiteboard up with words. I said, now, all these people going to hell? Yeah, all those people going to hell, especially them politicians. All them people going to hell. I said, are you sure? Did we leave anybody out? Unbelievers. Hypocrites! We got them all? Do you know anybody that's going to hell? All of them possibilities on the board. And every one of them sat there going, I said, now besides the politicians, I said, do you know anybody personally that's going to hell? How can that be? The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That gets the whole lot and caboodle, everybody. How is it you don't know? Jesus said you don't know because you're walking in darkness. And He is the light. And He said that we are the lights. And we should give the Word of God because it's a light unto our path. You don't know where you're going? You're lost. Very simple definition. What do we mean by when we say people are lost? They don't know where they're going. I mean, why make it? The Bible's not all that complicated. I mean, there is some complication in the Bible, but a lot of things in the Bible are very simple. A lost man is a man that doesn't know where he's going, and there's a lot of lost people around. Now, many of them would like to know. And their wives are saying, I wish you'd hurry up and find out. And a lot of times the wives had a lot of wisdom. Get the map. Get the map, honey. Get the map. If you just get the map. I don't need the map. You do need the map. The Word of God is a good map. Look at it. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Take a good look. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw. That doesn't embarrass you. That doesn't shame you. I mean, some of you will cover up and hide yourself because you're ashamed in the face of men, but you won't do it in the face of God. Adam and Eve at least knew that when they sinned, they better hide themselves from God. They had that much figured out. Now, you can't hide from God because God already saw it. He not only saw what you did, He saw the imagination of your heart. Isn't that a sobering thought? Gentlemen, what if we picked on one of you today and said, we're going to put your imaginations on PowerPoint display? Come on now. We're going to put your imaginations, even this morning, we're going to open up your brain and put on a PowerPoint display what your imaginations are like. How are you going to stand before God then? Oh, I think all of us men ought to be saying, oh, God, have mercy upon me. Amen. Jesus said, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery already. John said, if you hate a man in your heart, you're a murderer already. You see, God Almighty is not only going to judge you by what you do, God is going to judge you by what you imagine. Now, to my shame, when I was a young man, I was a thief. And it's the mercy of God that I'm not sitting in jail right now. And I've been saved for over 33 years. And sometimes I go into stores and I'm double-checking myself when I'm going out. I say 33 years. You know, you think you'd get over it after a while, but I'm still checking myself. Now, there's a difference between Joe and I. I mean, he was never a thief, but I was a thief, and so I'm always checking, man. I'm always checking. I'm standing in the bank line figuring out, you know, I wonder if I could, you know, if I could rob this bank, you know. Now, I never robbed a bank, but I thought about it. God help me. Because God saw. And then you're going to say, I'm going to get to heaven and God's going to see how good I am. God's going to be so happy with me about how good I am. Who are you kidding? You're not good. You're not good. Do I have any volunteers to come up here and tell us honestly what you've been imagining? Any volunteers? All you good people? All you people that claim to be good? Come on up here. I want you to volunteer. All right, I'll come back to your seat and you can whisper in my ear and then I'll tell everybody if it's a little too much embarrassing for you. Nobody wants to do it, but there's going to be a day. We're going to stand before an Almighty God who is light and who in whom is no variableness at all. And everything is going to be exposed. Now, I don't know about you, but that causes me to pause and sobers me. And brings me to the place and said, you know, God have mercy. And makes me bow down and say, oh Lord, don't judge me according to my works. For Jesus' sake, have mercy upon me. Let me tell you something, friend. Religious whitewash will not hide your wicked imagination. There's not a religion on the planet that can hide your wickedness from the eyes of God. Now, lots of people have tried. And they're trying hard all the time. Taking great pilgrimages as sacrifice to your body does not cover up the wickedness that you've done. No amount of doing good can cover up the man that you killed. No amount of promises or doing good can cover up the wickedness when you betrayed your wife or your husband. There's only one way. And Jesus is that way. God knows. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. But the other side is true as well. Jonah in chapter 3, after Jonah went in this town and said, God's going to judge. The wrath of God has come upon you. You know what the Bible says? They repented. And listen to what it says. This gives the sinner hope. And God saw. And God saw their works as they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them. And He did it not. Aren't you thankful that God can not only see our wickedness, He can see our repentance. Amen. He can see our remorse and regret. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. He can see our faith. He can see it. That's what he's telling this church. I see. I saw. I know. I know your labors. I know many times as a believer we stand before God and we fail them so miserably. And our own hearts rise up to condemn us. But thank God, God is greater than our hearts. And we stand as a broken and a humbled Peter. And Jesus comes, the lover of our soul, and He says, do you love me? And we got to hang our heads and we got to say, with tears coming down our eyes, we got to say, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. Thank God for that. He knows all things. Take heart, Christian brother. He knows all things. The Bible says the devil knows that he has but a short time. Do you know that? You have but a short time. Only that which is done for Christ will last. Are you doing it for Christ? I know thy works. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 11, it talks about the virgins. Some of them were foolish. The other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But He answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. There is a mistaken doctrine, a false gospel, a wicked religion that is permeating societies all around our globe. And this doctrine that is taught is, it doesn't matter which way you go, all religions lead to God. There is a misconception about the love of God. There's a literally countless, innumerable amount of people on the planet that think that God, who is love, will never judge a sinner. They don't understand what love is. Love rejoices in truth.
Amen.
And does not rejoice in iniquity. A God who is love must judge and will judge. And we're going to read in just a few seconds here, we're going to see some scriptures. Probably the most heart-wrenching scriptures in all the Bible. Here's one of them. These virgins heard the voice coming. They knew what they had to do, but they did it too late. And when they got back, the door was shut, and now they're banging on the door, and they said, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And He says, I know you not. That's got to be sad. But there's so many people in the world just like those foolish virgins. They had enough holiness in them to at least be still virgins. And there's a lot out here, unmarried people that aren't virgins anymore. There's a lot of people that think that if I can just remain a virgin until Christ comes, I'm going to earn my way into heaven. These virgins didn't get in. But if they didn't get in, where are you going to get? How are you going to get in when you gave up your virginity for a morsel of bread? Where's the holiness? Our God is holy. Be ye holy even as I am holy, He said. Where's the holiness? Luke in chapter 13 and verse 23. They asked the Lord, Lord, are there few that be saved? Doesn't that seem like a strange question in our generation? It seems like they would reword it in our generation. Are there few that would be lost? Will there be a few that are damned? But they understood. They said, Lord, are there few that be saved? And He said unto them, strive to enter into the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. Isn't that sad? When once the mast of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And He shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But He shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Listen, listen, sinner friend. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. Can there be a sadder portion of Scripture? In my own feeble reasoning, I can reach it this far and understand this far. Here's a man that hates God and despises God and will not seek God. Yes, I understand. There they go. They didn't want God. God didn't want them. Off they go into hell. But that's not what this says. It says they wanted to get in, but they weren't able. It says, you were in our streets. It says, you were there. Didn't you do things in our midst? We saw you do some great things. And they didn't get in. And they knocked, but it was too late. They enunciated with their tongues and their lips, Lord, Lord. They knew who He was, Lord. Lord of lords and King of kings. But they didn't get in. Now, did you notice that little word, many? Not few, but many. That means a lot. It means more than a few. Many. Probably the majority aren't going to get in. And yet, all around San Antonio this morning, people are sitting in chairs and pews and chapels and churches and congregations, and they're hearing ministers stand up with a Bible in their hand even. Peace, peace, peace be unto you. Peace, peace, peace. God says, there is no peace for the wicked. To me, that's sad. That's sad to think that a generation of Jews in Jesus' time, they had Jesus in the streets. Some of them had Him in His home. Some of them sat down and ate with Him. Some of them heard Him preach. Some of them saw the miracles that He did. Some of them hung on the cross right next to Him. So close, and yet so far. You got your Bible here this morning? Let me see your Bible. You got your Bible. You know what the Bible is? It's the Word of God. How many have more than one Bible? How many have more than two? More than three? I heard the preacher say this morning, 50. What's your excuse going to be? Are you going to try to fool the Lord? Are you going to pull the wool over God's eyes and say, Yeah, but Lord, I didn't know when He gave you His Word. But Lord, Lord, I read your Bible, but you didn't listen. Isn't that sad?